What's up, everybody? All looks like two of you. Oh man. We got an excellent show for tonight. But I do have to say, I do apologize for last week. Last week, I was in good old Broken Bow, Oklahoma. I need to fix this camera.
I don't even like it. Hold on a second, y'all. It's like, no, I'm too far over there. Oh, there we go. I think I'm in the middle now. That'll work.
And the internet, the Wi-Fi, the cellular, oh my gosh, it was the worst for the whole week. I could not, for the life of me, I could not get any kind of cell signal. And I was not about to jump on the show and try to get signal, and nothing was working. They don't have like, I don't know. It wasn't like it was like cable, or it was, everything was broadband or cellular. And it was just pitiful. So anyway, I'm glad y'all are here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad y'all get to see me tonight. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. Don't forget, check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and Breakers and all those other cool ones, because, you know, that's how we roll up in the Gorilla Lounge. But anyway, we've got a wonderful guest. We got to shoot the shit for a little bit. That's right. I should be a rapper. That would be kind of cool. Just kidding. But I think he's a great guy. He really is. I want to say he's backstage, so I'm going to talk to him for a second. How old are you again? What is it? 24. 24. This man is 24. He is, you know what? The cool thing about him, he is probably more mature as a 24-year-old than some of the 40 or 50-year-olds that I know. How crazy is that? This dude is like on point. And, you know, I want to talk about his career, the career path that he chose, why he went from one pot, you know, one career spot to another. We're going to talk about all kinds of cool shit. But I really do hope everybody had a great week, because I mean, this week was pretty legit. The weekend was pretty cool. I can't complain. But anyway, you guys, I'm going to bring him out and we're just going to get the show started. You know what I mean? Welcome to
What's up?
How are you? How are you, buddy?
Doing well.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, as you said, I'm 24. I live in the wonderful, wonderful, wild state of Florida. I get to see a little bit of everything down here. Mm-hmm.
Florida. Is that how do they say it up north? Well, like they do down south, they call it Florida.
We call it Florida, or Florida. Just the land of Florida, man. Mm-hmm. But that's about it. So the out-of-staters call us that. And I can't talk too much because I'm New York born. I've been here since I was like a year and a half.
You're a Florida man now. So if we typed in like Google, like Florida man and your birthday, what do you think would pop up?
I actually haven't done that, so I'm not 100% sure.
Let's do something real quick. Let's do something a little bit.
And I don't mean my birthday to make anybody feel old.
Yeah. Do you mind if we do your birthday?
That's fine.
Okay.
It's not any of my security questions. It's all good.
Yeah. I need to ask before I just start doing shit, because I'll probably start getting into like legalities and stuff.
Nah.
Yeah. Wendy says do not Google Florida man. All right. I think if I'm not wrong, it's Florida man and the birthday, like the whole, is it month, day, and year?
I'm not sure. I've seen it done both. So I'm sure if you put in like May 6th, you'd get a Florida man case. It just, there's one for everybody. Mm. That's why that's the joke. I mean,
I'm trying to see if anybody's going to type it in for us, but I don't think so. Sometimes they do.
Somebody might.
Let's see. Let's just try it. So we're going to go, you're going to still see me. I won't be able to see you for a second. So let's do this. Let's share screen. Okay, share screen. Let's go. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second.
See if I can find it too. Oh, I'm terrified. What'd you find?
Nothing yet. What's your what's your birthday?
May 6th, 1997. Some of y'all might have been in high school when I was born, but I don't know.
Let's see. Is there images? Let's do images.
Oh, God.
Florida man punches Jimmy something or other. Jimmy John's employee because his sandwich took too long. It wasn't freaky fast.
Can y'all see that? Right, no, we just see you.
All right. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on. This is actually pretty comical. Here you go. This guy right here. You see it?
Yeah.
Florida man punches Jimmy John employee because his sandwich took too long. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't know what to tell y'all about that one. That's just.
I have seen many of Florida man situations living here and Florida woman. I think I remember on one of the shows I shared what my adventure to the other coast brought me at a gas station. I had a less than dressed woman running around a gas station trying to start altercations with people until the local PD showed up and told her to politely put on her clothes and go home.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you could fall into a rabbit hole on all that.
Yeah, I'm not even going to keep going.
It's like opening a bag of Skittles. There's a little bit of every flavor inside.
Yeah, you got so much a wide variety. So Wendy said you have to Google Florida Man May 6th. All right. Well, it's okay.
Hey, someone got punched at Jimmy John's. That's interesting.
Hey, you know what's funny? It's like I went to Subway one time, and this guy was just slapping the sandwich together. This was when I had my own shop. Dude was just slapping things together, and he was like just really hating his job. And I was like, wow, dude. And he was like, is that it? I was like, you know.
You know, let's get one more of everything on the sandwich.
You know what? Why don't you just keep that sandwich? Because here's the deal. The job didn't find you. You found the job. So if you hate it so bad here at this early in the morning or whatever, go do something else. Go. Let somebody else that needs a job go do something. But oh, yeah. he was a little punk. So I was like, whatever. So he ended up keeping the sandwich because I didn't give a shit. So I noticed the hat you're wearing, Big Boys Bait and Tackle.
Yes, sir.
Right. So is that where that's where you work, right?
Yeah, that's where I'm at now. I gave up the hard knock life to go handle shrimp and other bait fish and tell fishing stories.
Yes. Yes. What is you're 24. So what's your long-term goal as far as do you want to be a captain? You want to charter?
So yeah, like at a young age, I really liked fishing. I enjoyed it. I kind of forced myself into it after fishing with my dad at a very young age. Like my dad being a first responder and all, we didn't get to hang out a lot. We didn't get to go and do a lot of things. And then on these days off, we got to hang out, fish, stuff like that.
Right.
And I kind of forced myself to get into fishing. At first, I was terrified to touch a fish like most kids.
Yeah.
And I kind of just forced myself to be able to do it. And I worked my way from freshwater into saltwater through high school and really got a good understanding of everything on there. And I'm like, wow, this is really fun. You know, maybe I could turn this into a career. And I got the first little taste of it right out of high school. I worked for a few months at a kayak rental company in Matlache here in my county. And it's just on the very edge of town, quite beautiful little place. And yeah. I got to work on the water, helping people with kayaks, teaching people how to fish the area, taking kids out for the summer camp out on the boats and having them catch fish on land and on the kayaks. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool. And then reality set in and said, hey, you know, you kind of really need an actual job. So go from there. Ended up at a 7-Eleven and worked there for a little bit. Then my truck broke down. That got me fired. And I fell into the career that I was with for the last, like, off and on, about almost 4 or 5 years, which was truck goes in the shop. A few days prior, I guess two mechanics decided to butt heads, and I got a job offer while sitting in the waiting room.
shit.
So I worked for the Bridgestone Retail Company the later half of my 18th through this year. So
nice. So now you work at the bait store and then you go fish.
Yeah. I walked in one day, the gentleman who owns it, his name's Fred. He looks at me and he goes, "You want a job?" And I'm like, I guess. And it went from there. Fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So I just kind of decided it was time to chase my dream and just kind of go for a run on this, because I was be making close to the same money. It was a great opportunity. And with my long-term goal of trying to get into the charter field, maybe probably do freshwater, which is kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I decided it was a great opportunity to go forward.
Absolutely.
And chase a dream.
You know, and you're young, so it's a lot easier to do stuff like that when you're a lot younger. So I'm going to assume you don't have any kids.
No.
And you're not married. Are you married?
Okay. No.
So it's a lot easier to chase a dream in your 20s, I believe, than, you know, of course, in your 30s, 40s, or 50s. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just you've got more time than somebody my age, or, you know, somebody else, you know, it just different circumstances. But you, man, you're fucking killing it. And that's what's good.
I'm trying to
do it. I mean, so it's like, what do you need to be a captain? Just to get a license?
So there's two ways of going about this. If I want to do like saltwater fishing and being out of the water by U.S. Coast Guard, I have to have a 6-pack license or greater, which just allows me to have people on my boat. It covers their saltwater license if they come out with me and stuff like that. I have to have my captain's license, have to have a charter license, the whole nine yards.
Gotcha.
Now, because some areas with freshwater are considered non-navigable, you don't need your 6-pack for it. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have it, but it's better if you do, but it's not required for freshwater in a non-navigable area. Like Cape Coral has 400 and something miles of freshwater canals. Those are considered non-navigable canals. So if I wanted to operate and do bass fishing and peacock bass fishing here in the city, I wouldn't need my 6-pack. Versus if I wanted to go out on the flats and chase tarpon, snook, reds, sharks, I would have to have my 6-pack license to go out and do that.
I got you. And so you say freshwater. How fresh is it? Because what about this this red tides crap that's been going on? I want to talk about that too.
Yeah, the red tide, it's definitely taking its toll on the area. Most people know right now, just through the news and everything, Tampa Bay has taken a huge fish hit. It's been 613 tons of fish and marine life that has actually been taken off of the beaches, and they're not recording what's in the back canals or anything like that. This is just what they're getting off the beaches right now. This was actually on the 13th, and that was the latest report I could find on it, was the 13th from a CNN article, that it was 613 pounds of marine life came off the beaches. And it was a worry of ours back in March what would happen with this, because we had a Piney Point leak. There's a like a little, it's a phosphate plant and also a fertilizer plant. And it had a leak in one of its holding canals, holding ponds. And it dumped, I think it was close to 215 million gallons to prevent it from failing into Tampa Bay. So us knowing every summer we have a large amount of red tide, which is a natural occurring algae here around the world, really.
Right.
What happens is this fertilizer, all this additives in the water, go and fuel the red tide and allow it to grow. And we had something very similar happen back in like 2018 here in my area that took out 2,000 tons of marine life.
Holy sh! What?
And we're still being affected by it today.
And that was how many years ago?
That was 2018.
Yeah,
there's still fish that we're legally not allowed to take because of that, because their numbers could not make it back.
So let's say you fish these canals or whatever. Is the fish still edible or no?
Yeah, like you can. Here's the thing.
So you just said phosphate leak and fertilizer leak.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I personally would not be up in Tampa Bay right now eating these fish. But there's a lot of other people that are up there right now. There's a YouTuber that I follow that's up there who's actually going miles off the coast to do a spear fishing because there's nothing alive in Tampa Bay.
Oh my God.
It's, you could walk across the fish. Like if you looked up some of the images that's coming out of Tampa today, yesterday, and all that.
Let's do it.
I mean, you're seeing 300, 400 pound fish being pulled off the beach by heavy equipment.
Oh.
And when we had the kill here with the, I mean, I could remember like it was yesterday how much it was. And it was just, it was crazy. Ours was fueled by something different though. It was the blue green algae that came out of Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah.
And when that breaks down, that algae turns the same thing as what Piney Point was.
Right.
It feeds the red tide. Now, by no means did Piney Point or the blue green algae cause the kill, but it helped feed the issue.
Yeah. So these are just some images right now.
Yeah.
This is all 2021.
Yeah, this is all 2021. And you can see here on that far left, you'll see like a little bit of like a map.
This one?
So yeah, you'll see there, it's not just us, and it's not just Tampa Bay that's being affected.
Yeah.
It's Pasco, Pinellas, Hillsborough, Manatee, Sarasota, and Lee County that is being affected by this.
That's crazy.
So that whole span you're seeing there in red is experiencing not only a fish kill, but respiratory issues.
Yeah.
Because the fancy name for this red tide, it has Karen in it, which only makes sense. But
it has Karen in it.
Yeah, it's literally the name is spelled for it, K-A-R-E-N-I-A. So I blame that completely on the name for this thing.
Look at that.
But it's just, it's killing these fish. And I mean, these people are out there in some of these photos in this environment, and the level that they're seeing it is 17 times higher than what is considered high on the charts.
Yeah. And what and what does that do for the fishing community? Obviously nothing, because they're dead.
Yeah. So what we're seeing here is, sadly, I hate to put it this way, a lot of people that come, I mean, there's one of the grouper right there next to that guy. Yeah. That's a Goliath grouper. That's a federally Goliath protected grouper. Fish.
And it's dead. Deader than dead. Look at that. That crab.
Yeah. It's not just fish. When we had our kill down here, we had a whale shark wash up. We had manatees dying. We had dolphins dying. It wasn't just animals that breathed water that were going.
Right.
I think it was close to 600 manatees got killed in 2018. I don't think there's a report out yet for Tampa yet.
Mm.
But, I mean, you can see there that there's just so much stuff along these beaches. It's crazy. And it's basically the red tide sucks all the oxygen out of the water. So as this bloom grows, and it's really affected by wind as well, because it'll blow out to sea and kill everything out there. And then as it comes back in, it drags all the dead fish in with it.
Holy cow.
So it's crazy to see what happens.
Yeah.
When we have this, and by no means is this, you know, a one time or obviously a two time thing. Mm-hmm. The more that we see this, the more normal it's going to be, but it shouldn't be. And like I said, blue green algae is natural in wildlife.
Right.
Red tide is natural. But when they meet, it creates this super storm of death, is what the easiest way to put it is. And, you know, there's many, many reasons on why this happens and what causes this. And you could ask 13 different people here. Mm-hmm. And some people would point the finger at farming and agriculture. Some people would point the finger at people who weren't taking care of things to begin with, like the Army Corps of Engineers or anything like that. But it's crazy how there's just so many different theories on why this is happening.
And you know damn well, you know, and it's going to suck to even say it, and I know it's going to suck to even hear it, but you know somewhere along the lines, somebody's picking up some of this dead fish, and they're going, this is still good stuff, and they're probably getting rid of it, dumping it, and putting it into the system.
I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't had any cases that I've heard of or seen of that.
Right.
I mean, desperate times call for desperate measures, I guess. If you see something fresh and you want to eat it, I mean, there's people who collect roadkill. You know, mm-hmm. there's special licensing for that. But me personally, I wouldn't touch a single fish off this beach.
No.
Or anything affected by it. But just the widespread, you're talking about probably close to a quarter of Florida's West Coast mm-hmm. is being affected physically. And so is our natural marine life. You know, right now they're experiencing people are getting in the hospital on top of everything else going on because they're having breathing issues. And, you know, God forbid you can't breathe nowadays. There's a whole process you have to go through for that.
Yeah. Holy cow. See, I'm out here in Oklahoma, so I lived in South Florida. I mean, honestly, I really didn't hear about red tide until I want to say maybe within 5 years. So I'm pretty sure it was like, but I think the media probably really plays a huge part into damn near everything.
The hardest thing is they don't want to have to report on it because Florida, as everyone's seen here in the last few years, lives off tourism. If mm-hmm. this state shuts down, the state gets affected detrimentally. And it's very painful to see people coming down and calling because I obviously work in the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. And when I get people calling, hey, are you guys getting effects on red tide? I have to answer it. I have to answer it truthfully. Yeah, we're starting to see some effects of red tide. And naturally, you know, we always have a little bit of red tide everywhere. I have an FWC update on my phone from Florida Fish and Wildlife that says, hey, you know, here's some pockets of red tide in the area that, you know, and when I mean pockets, it's a few square miles of red tide, which is a natural occurring thing until it gets some food and then it grows.
Right.
You know,
and that food is, of course, the other algae.
Yeah, the blue-green algae or runoff from fertilizer. So what Florida has actually done, especially here, we're on the mouth of the Caloosahatchee River, mm-hmm. and we get a lot of dump from Lake Okeechobee. And it wasn't until, I think, 1887 that they actually dug the Caloosahatchee River to Lake Okeechobee to connect it to drain water out from it for farming and homes and everything south of Lake Okeechobee.
Wow, so that's – you're talking – couple hundred years, bro.
Yeah, and it wasn't until recently that our water quality really started to go downhill because of the Army of Corps Engineers ignored the locks going all the way back to Lake Okeechobee.
Yeah, so we were talking the other day that you had the drainage on one side and then drainage on the other side.
Yeah,
let's. Is that what you're referring to? Is that stuff?
Yeah. Naturally, the Lake Okeechobee drain came from north up by Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I believe it came from, it was the Kissimmee River. Drains all the way from Orlando south to the north side of Lake Okeechobee. Mm-hmm. And then from there, Okeechobee drains down to the Everglades, which a lot of people don't know is a river in itself. Mm-hmm. The Everglades is the river of grass, and it moves, I think it was, let's see.
And then you said like 17 miles a day or something?
I was even wrong on that. It moves at a speed of 1 meter per hour.
That's not very fast.
I walk faster than that, and I'm a big guy.
Yeah. Well, you figure 100 meters is roughly 100 yards.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you kind of
on the ballpark.
Yeah. No, dude. Yeah, no wonder they call it the river of grass. It just...
It doesn't look like it moves. It
doesn't go anywhere.
And what that does is if you look at a map, mm-hmm. everything south of Okeechobee was what they considered a swamp. And as the water filtered through all that, the mangroves took out all the bad stuff and the mangroves absorbed all the water and kind of filtered it,
right.
Which was the natural way that Florida filtered water. And a lot of people point fingers at Big Sugar and other things like that, agriculture, septic drains, the whole nine mm-hmm. yards for the water quality of the lake. And everybody has a point, but really it's just the water's not designed to flow out the other coasts. And it doesn't flow out the other coast nearly as much as our coast, because on the other coast you have Miami, you have West Palm, you have all these big tourist stop destinations.
Money.
And so you see a lot more of the water dumped to our coast because mm-hmm. it's expendable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I worked out for Publix.
That so sucks.
Oh yeah. I worked out for Publix on Fort Myers Beach in our area. Mm-hmm. Smallest Publix like in the state almost. Whole nine aisles. And anybody who's been to Publix, nine aisles is not a lot for a Publix.
Right. It's not. I mean, Publix, so anybody who doesn't know, I know I Publix here in Oklahoma, the only equivalent to Publix is Crest. And y'all don't know what Crest is. Crest is the Midwest Publix. But it's huge.
It's almost like Texas and Buc-ee's.
Oh yeah.
Is Publix in Florida. I got my Buc-ee's cup up here somewhere behind me. But
oh yeah. I like me some Buc-ee's.
We actually finally just got one in Florida.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's I think it's like 6 hours away, but they opened up this year.
I'd totally fucking go. Road trip and for the day.
They have their own new little character just for Florida. I think it's like a turtle or something. Turtle or a flamingo or something along those lines.
It better be a flamingo. I mean, that's the Florida like state bird, isn't it? Is the
flamingo. I don't know what our state is. I don't know what our state bird is, and I'm the outdoors guy.
But okay, so let's do some little hypotheticals. Okay, so let's say this fertilizer and phosphate that, right? You said phosphate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a phosphate mine and a fertilizer plant.
The fertilizer and the phosphate. Let's say there's drainage. Let's say there's leakage. Let's say there's all kinds of stuff going on. And then it collects rain, whatever, right? And then it collects with the fecal matter of the cows and horses and pigs and everything else.
People and, yeah.
People, right? So then it just keeps adding more shit to it.
100%.
And then it collects and plays around with the algae. Now you've got this swamp thing of a mess mixed with a natural occurrence of the natural red tide, along with, we call it turning over. So like our ponds and our lakes, they'll turn over by like, I want to say like March, April, May, somewhere around in there.
The rainy months.
Right. So whatever's at the bottom is up at the top, and then it runs out, just turns over.
Yeah.
So you have that going mixed in with everything. Yeah, it's going to kill the fish and all the larvae, the a lot of fish life. Which
it takes the whole food chain.
Yeah, and we need that to sustain life. Just like we need bees to pollinate and da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, 100%.
We need the sea life to help us survive. Like the coral reefs, we need those, you know, and it's... And a lot of people just, they don't understand that, but that's the logistics of it. But let's say that all of that plays into effect. But what if we can never correct it?
And that's the biggest what if out there, especially on any ecology standpoint that you look at. Mm-hmm. You know, can we stop the deforestation down in like the Amazon? Can we reverse what we've already done to the Everglades, or what we've done to Lake Okeechobee and other waterways around us? You know, can we stop the effect that we're already causing and try to correct it? And our governor has kind of pushed for that as well, because the residents of Florida were like, hey, you know, we like going to the beach. We kind of moved here for it. You know, a lot of people are down here because, you know, as I like to say, it's just another day in paradise down here. Drives some people I know up the wall, but because it comes out of my mouth constantly. But you know, it's what makes Florida Florida is our sunny days, sandy beaches, and our 4 o'clock rainstorms.
Yeah,
you know, it's affected by that, and this time of year it gets hard to get out on the beach because you got to worry about red tide, and to have this mixture come in by issues that we as humans have created and natural occurring things. If we force water and gasoline and fire together, well, we're just going to have a floating fire. And in a sense, you know, it's kind of what this is being turned into is this is a floating dead zone that is killing things.
So you would say, I would say that this is probably, so it doesn't just happen in Florida. We saw it on there. It was in California. It was in Texas. It's everywhere. And I'm going to assume it goes.
It happens in Japan. Overseas, it happens in China. It happens in all these other places. And when you have these big fish kills, it's normally affected by one of three things. It's affected by a high amount of flooding, which causes areas to have runoff and pesticides, fertilizer, biological things dying and going out to fuel this. Mm-hmm. And it normally comes hand in hand with rainy season, flooding, and stuff like that.
So would you say, so I don't mean to keep you on the spot, but would you say like the red tide became more rampant in within the past, let's say, 10 years?
I would definitely say that with the amount of kills that we're seeing, because like a lot of people haven't heard of this. And the two times that we've really heard about fish kills, it's been here. You know, it took BBC News. It had on.
Did you say BBC?
Yeah, the BBC.
Oh, okay.
But it took a lot of world news and brought a lot of attention here.
Right.
And I had friends that I know overseas that were like, hey, what's going on there? Because they come in vacation here.
Yeah.
And they're like, is it safe to come there? I'm like, yeah, you might cough a little bit. You know, that was 2018. It's not now. You cough now in public. Everyone runs from you. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. I cough on purpose just to.
Oh, it clears an aisle.
Yeah. I'm like, I need this cereal and you're in my way. And then get my Reese's Puffs. So then the reason I'm asking this is because years ago, don't quote me on the year, I was still turning wrenches and I quit back in 2017, 2018, I think. I don't remember. I quit. So, but years prior to that, there was a tsunami that came through and destroyed like a lot of Japan. Mm-hmm. And it took out the nuclear power plants.
Yeah, the Fukushima reactor.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And the reason I'm asking is because do you think that maybe some of that nuclear or even like the nuclear bombs that they drop in the ocean or any of that plays like some sort of play into any of this? Because, I mean, look, listen. We know we're not going to shoot bombs on the land, right? Especially A bombs, really. I mean, it's so that's why they went to the water. Yeah. And you start dropping bombs in the water. Do you really think that maybe, just maybe, some of that sea life is maybe mutated? That's like mutant fish that you've got like Goliath groupers and all of them, you know? Well, and
the Goliaths have always been huge.
Yeah. I mean, you got the, what is that? Massive whale. What is that called?
The whale shark, or the, or are you talking about?
They call it like the megalop. Anyway,
one of those things.
Megadon or something. It's called.
Oh, the gigantic shark.
Yeah, is that the shark?
Yeah, it's a shark.
So it's
a gigantic prehistoric shark.
So I don't.
I hope I never see one.
All right, I don't want to. No. But I mean, I'm just wondering. Like, I mean, for every cause, there's an effect.
Yeah.
So you cause the bomb to go off into the ocean, there has to be an effect.
Oh, yeah. And they're seeing an effect on the other coast. The radiation is actually starting to pour. I know they're actually tracked a bit of it. It's been a while since I've seen anything on it. But I know a lot of people who are avoiding getting Alaskan caught things and California caught fish and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Because they're actually showing trace amounts of radiation in those fish that school around those coasts.
Right.
Because they don't just live in California. They don't just live along the Canada. They don't live along Alaska. They go full circle in that area sometimes to migrate.
Right.
And if they swim through radioactive water, it's not like, you know, they can hold their breath as they swim through that area. It's being filtered by their gills, going through their blood, and it's affecting them.
Yeah.
And as it spreads out, obviously they're starting to see some weird stuff pop up.
See, I'm wondering if like octopus, so the plural of octopus, so if there's two of them, it's not octopuses, it's octopi, right?
Yeah.
Just so everybody is clear of this. But I'm wondering if like octopus is like a spawn of radiation. Because I mean, think about it. It has what, eight legs? Octo, right?
Yes.
It's like a mutated starfish.
I guess you could look at it that way.
Granted, starfish are five, right? Little five. Patrick.
Depends on the species. There are starfish with many more arms than five.
And they're mutated. That's probably because of bombs.
I'm sure we could relate something to that.
So how's the as I know we talked about it before also too. So you said that you're, Alexa, you're not gonna find songs. So she loves talking to me about this time. So we talked about it. Now there's a law in your area that you cannot fish off of a bridge that doesn't have a walkway.
Yeah. So what they did is, this was actually very recent. They actually made it illegal for people that live in the city of Cape Coral, which is where I live, to fish under bridges or fish off of some bridges. Some of those bridges that have been marked for forever because they're on, you know, busy roads that it's just really unsafe. You're going to force a bicyclist out, something like that. But they've outlawed fishing underneath bridges without a proper walkway. And this
under the bridges,
or on top of some of them, there's a little bit of mix up, but primarily this law was for underneath bridges that don't have proper walkways.
I've never seen a bridge that had a, underneath have a proper walkway.
Well, all of our bridges have seawalls, and I can walk under any bridge and not have to like climb over stuff. Yeah. I might whack my head on the way in and out, but you know, I don't have to climb over anything. There's no fence for me to hop. There's nothing like that, you know? And we started seeing a huge increase, especially recently, with unemployed people becoming homeless and losing their homes and having nowhere to stay. And bridges provided a lot of ways to get out of the elements. So you started seeing a lot more homeless people under bridges. You started seeing more trash building up underneath bridges. There were fishermen going underneath bridges. And this primarily stemmed from about three or four bridges in the richer area of our town, of just people fishing underneath bridges. And I mean, it really goes along with who you ask. If you ask people that lived out there that was, you know, well, they're intruding on my property by fishing underneath the bridge. I get you want a suntan on your back porch. Trust me. I understand respecting people's properties. I'm not some guy that's going to go walking onto your property to fish.
Right.
But a lot of people would fish underneath these bridges just trying to fish. It's local spots. You get out of the heat, you get out of the weather, you get to fish in the shade. Because the same thing, the fish are not wanting to sit there in the sun.
Correct.
They're going to feed on natural cover.
See, there was a guy that told me when I first started fishing, I love fishing, by the way, but there was a gentleman that told me, he said that fish are no different. Well, they're different, but the way that they act and intertwine is no different than a human. He said, let's do this. Let's say you have your favorite meal sitting on a table, right? And it's just, you smell it and you're like, oh my gosh, this smells so good. I want this. But the thing is that room is 110 degrees. You're not going to go into that room and sit down and eat. You're going to go in, grab a bite, probably haul ass out. Right.
Yeah.
Same thing. Fish. So if the water's temperature is too hot, they're either going to go down further for it to cool off, or they're going to go find shade like we would.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's just how we do it. So like I can see fishing under the bridge.
Yeah. And like this time of year, you'll see more people using dead bait or frozen bait or something like that, because just like us, I'm not going to want to be out running around chasing a cheeseburger in 100 degree weather. Nope. That ain't happened. I don't. First of all, I'm big. I don't run like that.
I ain't running.
And I'm not running, you know, but
it's just another day in paradise.
You know, exactly. Exactly. Sunny beaches, blue skies, and a little bit of heat.
And we ain't running after no damn hamburger. Trust me.
No. But, you know, these fish don't want to be in the heat, which I get. I don't want to be in the heat either. And they're going to go and look for an easy meal. If they can eat a big, easy meal, they'll do that. If the big, easy meal is running from them, no, bye, have fun.
Right.
Someone else can have that.
That's why when you cast out, right, you make it like that shad or whatever, it's dying, kind of let it drop and then wiggle out and then let it just kind of sink. Let them catch up to it.
Yeah, well, especially if you're throwing like artificials and stuff like that, 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, look, here in Oklahoma, the fishing is, I want to say it's a little bit different.
Just a little bit.
It's about the same, but it's like if you've got, what is it? Now correct me, okay? Because I'm not your awesome fisherman that knows everything about bait and the color and everything else. But I was told that if you have dark bait, right? Or dark water, you fish with dark bait, light water, light bait.
Give or take. On paper, yes. Have I caught good fish on using the polar opposite? 100%. But primarily you want to use baits that are going to blend in. Your fish are not going to stay a light pigment if the water is dark.
Right.
You know, in darker waters, you're going to rely more on vibration, movement, stuff like that. Because if that bait is blended in and not being able to see, if the water looks like sweet tea, you know, it's going to rely on vibrations and a little bit of color. So sometimes in those cases, you'll throw a natural color bait with a chartreuse tail or a natural colored bait with, you know, just a little bit of accent on it or a little bit of smell. You know, you put a little bit of the fish juice. Garlic, great example. We actually have this, and you can look it up. I'm not just making it up to sell it, but we have these different saltwater stuff that you add. And one of the more popular ones is called butt juice. And that stuff flies off. Yeah, it flies off the shelf. We have like crab, we have shrimp, we have pinfish, mullet, all these other smells you can add to your soft plastics. But I don't know if it's just the name that people like. I personally don't use it. Because I spend a lot more time doing freshwater fishing than saltwater.
Right.
But
is that what you prefer? Is the fresh?
I like my ditch pickles, which is what everyone calls bass around here. Ditch pickles. It's to me, it's fun. You know, I don't have to go out there and put in a lot of the effort like a lot of these guys. Sometimes you like they sit out there for hours trying to catch snook. Unlike a few of my friends that literally go off and show out. You're like, hey, look, there's a fish.
Yeah,
and they got it.
So I don't know if it's true or not, but was it you that said it? I don't know. I talked to a lot of people, like a lot of people. And I want to say I heard that it was against the law to cast underneath like a dock or because there's a lot of anglers that are just like just so badass that they'll whip that thing sideways and it skates across the top of the water and then goes bloop.
So
and people start getting pissed off because you're like, ah, it's fishing off of my dock. And it's kind of like, eh.
So I'm almost 100% sure that may not, I don't, it's not a law here, maybe somewhere in some other part of Florida, it may be, but in the state of Florida, it's actually a misdemeanor to harass fishermen.
Yeah, so, it should be.
You know, if some Ken or Karen comes walking out and I happen to be on my kayak or on a boat and I'm fishing around their area, obviously my goal is not to ding a weight off the side of your pontoon on every cast. Does it happen? I think it happens to any fisherman that's flipping around or casting up underneath structure because naturally that's where fish are going to be. They're going to be in the shade. They're going to be in structure.
Right.
They may be bedding along the shallower water, the seawall.
They're staying out of that hot ass food tunnel.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I've seen many of videos and witnessed many of things where people come out to harass fishermen and Florida Fish and Wildlife gets called. And because either they're spraying people with hoses or really just harassing fishermen and that, you know, the fishermen might not be having a great day. They may not be having a great day. And next thing you know, someone's getting, you know, hey, you can't harass the fishermen.
You know,
it's the same thing. You can't harass alligators. You can't harass fishermen.
No, you shouldn't. Listen, I harassed enough alligators. My microphone is jacking up right now. I'm having technical difficulties. So, I've harassed enough alligator. Have you ever heard of the Holy Lands? It's south. Where was it? South where I used to live. It was south, let's say Fort Lauderdale. We would just take it, go straight. Like, I want to say, was that 7? I don't know. Anyway, just take it across. Yeah. And that road used to hit this place called Holy Lands, and it would have the airboat rides, and it would have Gator Tail, had restaurant, had a bar. And it's probably gone now. I don't know. But the one thing it did have was these docks, and it was only – okay. that high off the water, like the size of a 2x4. And when you stepped on it, it would like you were stepping in a mud puddle, right?
There's that little bit of flex going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's not really the best spot for a first date because the girls tend to freak out. But,
yeah.
I mean, it was kind of cool, you know. But and you're like, meh, no big deal. Now, the only thing that's kind of scary is the fact that when you start seeing that, right, just the eyes and the snout poke up out of the water.
Just
and you
kinda, that little bit.
That little bit. And you start looking off in the distance, and there's like a shit ton of them. You kind of go, I'm going to get off this dock because I know they can get up here.
I watched enough Crocodile Hunter, and they jump half their body length. Nah,
nope. Good. So I was like, "Come on, we got to go because I am not gonna get you like that." So we need to go, and we left. But that was one of the things that I used to go to a lot of the times was go visit that. And you know, when I was growing up, I know for a fact I did not see half as much homeless living in Florida that you probably have now. Like you just said, there's a buttload of it. So it's insane. But so what do you think they fish underneath the bridge?
I mean, if it's, you know, I think it'd be very easy for people to do that if they were trying to do that. There's mm-hmm. plenty of fish to catch in these canals. So I could completely assume that homeless were up underneath these bridges fishing. You can go into any Goodwill down here and find a very well assortment of fishing tackle and walk out very cheap with some. Mm-hmm. And you don't need much to catch the fish here. So, I mean, there's a good chance that some of these cases could have been homeless fishing and may just be complaints and stuff like that mm-hmm. that came along because there was just people underneath the bridge and people assumed they were fishermen. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it got to a point here where if you got on the US 41, which is just over in Fort Myers,
okay,
and I would drive that every day to go to work when I worked for the mechanic shop, every single light had homeless people with a sign, you know. And I mean, it got to the point where there were whole tent cities of these people, mm-hmm. and they kind of built up in areas. And yeah, they were all living out of tents and they were all trying to make do, and the city stepped in and tried to do what they could to help them out mm-hmm. and kind of help getting people off the street, getting them a fresh little start here and getting them back into the workforce. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we still saw a lot of people who were still homeless and still, I mean, you can still drive around now. And I mean, Cape Coral is supposed to be the, you know, the creme de la creme of this coast. When it comes to the way of people living, this city's almost like a little bit of an HOA, mm-hmm. but it's still has a very high amount of homeless in our wooded areas in the area.
Hmm. And the city helps them out.
Yeah. Like the city of Fort Myers had a huge homeless camp right across from one of the hospitals in a park. And they just didn't want them there anymore. So they came together with Florida Power and Light and a few other people and basically put them in housing that the government was able to fund up and do everything like that. Kind of a, here you go. We're going to get you out of these tents, get mm-hmm. you showered, everything like that, and get you in a position where you can better your life.
Gotcha. I mean, in a perfect world, that would work.
Yeah.
But I mean, this world's not so perfect, you know, and I'm going to probably tell you maybe 80%, maybe higher, didn't work. So I don't know. And then it's like, well, who funded this? The government funded it. Well, how did the government get the money? You know, there's so many things that it's, I don't know. I just, my mind works in like mysterious ways because it's like I want to know, okay, so where did you put them? Did you put them in a hotel, right? Or did you put them in an abandoned apartment complex? Did you put them in an old abandoned school and just kind of kick everything on and no big deal? You know, where did they go? And then why? why are they, why is a lot of them homeless? Is it because of drugs? Is it because of alcohol? Is it because, you know, and unfortunately, that's the first couple of things that people jump to.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's drugs or alcohol. Maybe it is, or maybe this guy just, but this guy or this female just had poor life choices. You know, maybe they invested all their money into stocks and then the stock market crashed, or maybe they were in real estate. And back in what, 2008, I think 2009, when like the market crashed or tumbled, or I don't know what it did. It just went crazy like it is now. I mean, anything can happen.
100%.
Anything can happen. And that's what's nuts. This microphone's pissing me off, dude.
Really, I keep seeing you play with it. Mine's like, you know, a million years old. And,
I'm so sick of this microphone. It's okay though. It still works, but the whole arm, the arm is like damn near super glued over here in the corner. You guys don't see it, but it's right there. So
there's really someone off camera holding it.
I have a boom and I'm like, but I mean, you know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy because we have a lot of homeless here, and they were trying to make Norman like a almost like a city for the homeless. So they were actually getting them bussed in from Oklahoma City to Norman. And I was like, no, 90% of the people here in Norman don't want to see homeless. So what does Norman do? They start destroying, like, I don't know, businesses that have a hotel or this old school. They destroy them. And it's like, well, okay, well, where do they live? Oh, they live right here behind my apartment complex underneath this bridge because there's a river there and you can fish in it. So, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. That's a whole other topic.
That's a whole, like, you could dive into that for like a week straight on, you know.
Like Wendy says, it could be mental health, mental illness, anything.
100%.
Anything. And that's crazy, man. I hate seeing my fellow man, you know, stuff like that happen to him. And it's just it, but it happens. But it's just, I don't know, man. So
100%.
So if you fish, so that was my eyes. So if you fish for a living, what do you do for fun?
Well, fish? I fish some more. when I'm not working at the tackle shop, I'm either traveling around a little bit, doing some fishing, hanging out with some friends, or dying in Call of Duty. It's, you know, one or the other, you know.
Dying in Call of Duty. Do you have a Twitch handle or anything that you just like?
No, I don't think people would want to just sit around and watch me watch other people play. So
that would be me.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's gotten to a point where I put my username as I Need a Revive just because I spend most of my time on the ground or dead.
See, you're a really good, like, hey, man, watch out for this guy over there. He's over there in the corner. You see him?
Oh, I'm the greatest backseat, you know. Yeah, yeah. 9 times out of 10, they mute me halfway through the game because I'm like, you see that guy? You see that guy? Watch out. He's behind.
You're dead.
They're like, thanks. I appreciate that.
I needed to concentrate, bro.
Oh, trust me. If you listen to some of the conversations me and my friends have while playing, it sounds like we all hate each other.
Uh-huh.
Because we're all at like different volumes and all that. And like you end up in like in a situation where you're like the last guy alive. And I'm over here talking to my other teammate about what we had for dinner. And my buddy's trying to listen for the footsteps of the enemy team coming to him. He's like, "Will y'all just shut up real quick?" Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I used to play a lot of Call of Duty mobile when I put the AirPods in. Right. And then, but the AirPods are so good sometimes where I sit there and I go, who's that?
Right. Like who just snuck up behind me?
Real quick. I was like, whoa, because you could actually hear like the crunchy leaves. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're like, whoa, you could hear a stick in the background. Like, whoa. But I suck crazy at video games. I used to be pretty decent. You know,
I used to play a lot of Halo and all that, you know, back when like Halo was cool and a little bit of Battlefield and a little bit of Black Ops 1 and 2. But, you know, everybody's really got these nice gaming chairs and they just run around and terrorize the game because they got all these hacks and all these little things that let you see through the walls and outline characters a mile away. And they're just like spraying through the air, killing like 10 people at a time.
Yeah. That's when it becomes unfun.
Yes.
Because it was, I think, didn't they also like cross platform, like Xbox, PlayStation, and PC?
Exactly. Like I'm playing right now, like when I play, I have a buddy on PS4, I have a buddy on Xbox, I have mm-hmm. another one on Xbox. Like we all get to play together. And a lot of these PC players have the ability to add things on. So mm-hmm. they get to download all these little aftermarket things and do all this. And, you know, they have it. So when they sight down their rifle in the game, it can focus in on whatever player's close. Mm-hmm. All they have to be is facing that general direction and squeeze the trigger. And it's on that guy, onto the next guy, onto the next guy.
No wonder I'm always dead by a sniper.
I'll be honest. I have a few teammates that play that I see some of their shots and I'm like, man, I don't know how you made that shot. I don't know what graced your shot to go hit that guy a mile downrange.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm glad that I wasn't that guy.
Yeah.
Or I had laying on the ground asking for you to buy me back.
I had a little kid one time. He was like, "You suck, man. Oh. You completely suck." I said, "You shut your mouth. I'll be your next stepdad." And he didn't like that. I was like, yeah. I mean, I said a couple few choice words too, but you know, it is what it is. So there were some comments going on earlier when we were talking about Red Tide. I think a few of your buddies came in.
Yeah, I was like, I was trying to see if anybody was commenting. I've got the YouTube up on my side. There's my buddy.
So yeah, he said that
there's Peyton.
What I was gonna say, because we were really into that conversation, what I was gonna say to Peyton is he says, "I heard Big Man Bassin doesn't catch fish." And what my reply was going to be, well, he can catch it now because it's already dead on the shoreline.
I could run across the shoreline with a net
and, with a net and just scoop him up. But
I'm starting to see some of the comments pop up now. My phone wasn't loading any of the comments. Yeah, I got it. I wanted to count as a viewer tonight. You know, I'm watching myself.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, dude. This is how we do it. You know, it's kind of renegade style.
Oh yeah,
but I don't mind it one bit. You know, I like talking about almost anything.
Man, then there's Clinton.
Yeah, what did he say? Where's he?
Bad luck, Bardell.
Do what? Where did he say?
One of his comment down. It popped up.
Oh, bad luck, Bardell. Yeah,
yeah. There would be trips where everyone else would catch fish and I wouldn't catch a single thing.
Yeah,
that's happened a time or two.
Now, do you use a bait caster or do you use open reel? Or
I have, both? I use both. I have a few bait casters. 9 times out of 10, once I bird nest one of them, I'm done. And I just pick up my spinning reel, which does not take long.
Mm-hmm.
Normally I'm like, I'm going to go fish with my bait caster and be different. And then I'm like, I'm going to go throw my bait caster in the water.
Mm-hmm. Because somebody,
and that's where it can stay.
Lawrence said, you're bad luck.
on occasion. occasion, there's some bad juju when people go fishing.
So definitely do not start a charter just yet.
Not yet. I gotta get out of what my buddies call the Guggen phase.
The Guggen phase. Yeah.
You know, I have that luck sometimes that I get on the big fish, but I'm pretty sure everybody giving me a hard time has caught a pretty decent fish. I think I got Clinton on his first tarpon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a freshwater tarpon, to say the least.
Nice.
And we were not expecting that. Yeah, we weren't expecting that at all. When he hooked up, I think we thought it was more of a snook until it decided to make that that jump.
Yeah.
But it was definitely something that a lot of people don't expect to catch in freshwater.
So when you fish in freshwater, what do you – so you just catch and release, or do you kind of go, this one looks good to eat. I think I'm going to eat it.
I normally don't eat a lot of my fish that I catch. I'm more of a catch and release guy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are some fish that I've always thought, man, this will taste pretty good. Cause I mean, I like watching the food videos. I like watching the catch clean cooks that some of these YouTubers
do. Hell and, yeah.
You know, there's definitely some fish that I'd like to keep on the menu, but there are fish that I don't keep out of respect for the fish.
Mm-hmm.
Like as much as I've heard peacock bass taste great,
mm-hmm.
I won't eat one. Like if it's given to me, if someone else caught it and they're like, here, try this. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't turn down food. But
yeah, me neither.
If it's hot, warm, or it's supposed to be cold, I mean, hey, I'll eat it, drink it. Yeah,
bro, if it's cooked right, I'll definitely eat it.
Right.
I saw a video it was a while back, and oh, these glasses and these headphones are just not mixing tonight. So he was like, okay, I'm totally going to catch you your first crappie. So they go out there, they catch a good crappie. Like, it was a good size crappie. And he says, all right, man, I brought it. And he pulls out a little burner, and they're on this little like two-man bass boat. Pulls out this little burner, he pulls out this little, I mean, this camping gear, and dude starts frying up his fish, and then he's like buttering the bread and he's toasting it. I thought all of this on the boat.
Oh yeah.
Like on a little two-man, like one of those Pelican bass boats. You know what I mean? And he's cooking it up. He's just, all right, man, here you go. Here's your crappie sandwich. He goes, I got to have a little bit of tomato, some lettuce. He had everything in this bag to keep it.
Oh, yeah. You can ask. I think my buddy Peter was there. I don't know if he was in chat already because the chat stuff's just loading up for me.
Yeah.
I know Kayla was there, but I keep a little Coleman stove in my truck at all times. I have oil, Everglade seasoning, everything. Yeah. I'm ready to Chef Boyardee it up, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Why not?
We were fishing down at a place called Cape Harbor in the area. And we were out there, and a friend of ours that was with us hooked a big mangrove snapper. And that's like my favorite snapper to turn into a taco.
Yeah.
And it went from flopping to filleted to finished within like 5 minutes.
Three Fs.
Yeah, it was done. And I mean, it tasted great.
So tell me about this Thumbledore.
I figured that was gonna pop in there.
Thumbledore does that occasionally. So I'm kind of curious now. Holler at me.
So if you look at my big head from behind, I'm sure there's a million photos of whoops. Thanks, Lawrence. Thanks. I appreciate that. If you look at me from behind, I look like a thumb from Spy Kids. Because I got this thick, even neck that meets like my beard hides it here. But if I tuck this in, that neck is even with the side of my head.
Right.
So in high school, Lawrence used to sit behind me. And, you know, he one day looks at me and he goes, you know, you look like a thumb from behind. And it never went away.
He says it, and that's how we became friends.
Yeah, Lawrence and I have been through a lot. We've known each other for 10 years almost, since freshman in high school. We actually didn't like each other sitting in our math class together our freshman year.
Yeah.
And this kid has seen about every single thing that I've seen. If it wasn't for him, I may have missed an opportunity to help somebody out in high school. I was a little dozed off in a math class, like most, like I think we were juniors. And I'm just that classic lean forward, pretending like I'm there, but just kind of asleep, kind of. And he hits me the hardest I think I've ever been hit before in my life. And there's a kid two desks over whose appendix just exploded. And he didn't tell anyone that he was feeling ill. And he's now on the ground just seizing. Yeah, no, he, like Lawrence said, he punched through me to wake me up.
Wow.
So me having somewhat of a medical training, because my father was a lieutenant with Lee County EMS here.
Yeah.
I get up and start rendering aid to this kid as my teacher's yelling at me that I need to go down to the office and she's going to write us up for disrupting class. And I'm like, this kid's dying. I'm going to help him and then I'll go to the office. But you need to call the resource officer and get someone down here to help this kid.
Yeah.
And we ended up stabilizing him and getting him kind of like, cause he was out of it, like eyes rolled back, yellowed eyes.
Yeah.
It was bad. And we ended up getting him comfortable. He started coming back too. I had him, you know, feet elevated, making sure he was good, making sure everything was going on, breathing the whole nine. And, he was okay. Got transported. I ended up meeting him like a few years later. And, I was like, good to see that you're still here. You know, he goes, my appendix, because he was there. He'd been in my school for one day. He had just got to that school.
And so nobody knew him.
Nobody knew him. I just got sucker punched so hard that it woke me up. My arm was sore. And all Lawrence does is look at me and goes, that kid's dying. Help him. And I'm like, dazed, confused in math class. Yeah. Like, who's dying? What's happening?
Like, I'm just keeled over right now, and you're telling me to go help somebody else, dude.
Yeah, like, I was mid-snore when you just punched me in the arm, my guy.
Right. Yeah, thanks, pal.
But wow. You can ask any of my friends, anybody who's in this chat can verify for it. I find myself in some very, very interesting situations. The next year, which got me the Do the Right Thing Award for the schools and all that, we were walking into my English class first period, and there was a young lady who was in our class with this.
It's not enough.
And you hear Alexis talking again, isn't it?
Yeah, she wants to
chime in.
It's always at like certain times. It's like a time thing, and I don't know what the fuck I did.
She's your next guest, you know.
But she's like, no, I can't even say her name out loud because she's kind of starting to scare me.
But I'm in full ROTC uniform, and I was at the time a senior, so I was a officer, blah blah blah, big restricted jacket, walked around like this, like I couldn't move. And this girl walks into class, and she's a very fit, very athletic girl. And she walked in, and she was darker skin tone, but she was pale. And, you know, she's talking to the teacher about how she doesn't feel good, and she wants to go down to the nurse's office. And we sit alphabetical order in this class, and my last name's B. So I'm right up front, and then she drops. Mid-sentence, eyes roll back, drops. And I'm like, okay, so I'm out of the desk. Out there, shiny shoes, fancy uniform and all, rendering aid once again.
Right.
And she ended up having some kind of major lung infection. She wasn't breathing when she first hit the ground. She was when I finally got over to her and figured out how to bend over in this uniform.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
Wow.
And I ended up getting recognized for that. And I mean, it's...
Look at you.
It's not always fun. I get to see a lot of crazy stuff, and a lot of people don't believe my story, so I tend to take photos now. I was on way to bring Miss Kayla something, and I was bringing her a shake. And I'm driving down the road. As soon as I leave from getting the shake from like Tropical Smoothie or something, I see this car halfway teetering into a ditch. And that's actually up on my Instagram. And just this car about to fall off like a 10-foot like fall in because they're building something and digging the pipes in. And this car tried to cut through that field and just started teetering. So, I mean, I've come across so much stupid and wild shit.
Yeah.
It keeps me interesting.
And Kayla said that her smoothie melted.
Yeah. It's you know, it's crazy.
I drank it.
Oh, it was she still did. I don't think she did it.
You.
Oh, me?
You were giving it to her, right?
She wasn't bringing it. No. Yeah.
I'd have started chugging it. Okay, I got to get some protein in here. I got some Popeye shit to do.
Right? I'm actually across the street from a fire station. So, you know, all the fire guys are just out walking around, and I'm waving, and I'm like honking the horn a little bit trying to get someone's attention because they're all right there. Yeah. And I know I'm going to spend like 2 minutes with 911 on the phone. And I don't know where this car is going, and I don't know where the guy that was in the car is. So there's beer cans galore in there. So he went, and I'm like waving down fire department, and they're like, hi, hi. And I'm like, car, ravine, hole, bad, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, being in law enforcement, a lot of the people that are in like the fire department, you can't say ravine. You just got to yell out ditch. They don't know the word ravine. They just ditch.
Well, especially in Florida, it's flatland here.
Yeah. I think the only mountain Florida has is the landfill.
Yeah, no, it's our highest point. And you can smell it from a mile away.
Mm. You know, I was in Wichita and the dumps were even clean.
Oh, God.
They didn't smell. They didn't do anything. They're still talking about this melted smoothie. Bro, you owe a better smoothie now. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, I do have to say, I did make it up. I introduced, we have this place called Foster's here, and they make a awesome chocolate smoothie or chocolate shake. And I definitely got Kayla a few of those to make up for that.
See?
So
stop bringing it up.
Yeah, leave me alone. I got you.
It's already hooked it up like three times better. probably would have gotten, you know what you probably should have did? You probably should have just went to like the gas station and got one of those like Muscle Milk protein shakes. Throw it in like a freezer. and then there you go. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. And I just saw Lawrence's comment about the woods and stuff.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Tell me about the bad experience in the woods.
So, I mean, I don't know if he's talking about our friendly neighborhood ghost out here the many a times that we found ourselves in situations helping people or ending up in one of my many interesting situations of just trying to enjoy the woods.
Tell me about your picture you have on Instagram. Sorry, I'm not trying to yawn, but tell me about your Instagram picture where there's a silhouette. So you were like, oh shit, check this out.
So I brought it up a few times. Yes, the shadow walker. I brought it up a few times in the past, like in chat, we joked about it. Mm-hmm. But we have this thing that we have seen. Lawrence was with me that when I was sharing with you that ride where I had one of my other buddies in the back seat, and mm-hmm. he was with me, and all three of us were in different mindsets per se when we saw this thing. But this mm-hmm. thing has been seen by a lot of people, and right. we all just pretend like we don't. And I have a photo that was taken of just me out in the woods in one of the areas that it's been seen. And if it wasn't for someone pointing it out, I would have never known it was there. But if you go on my Instagram, I think it's probably, if you scroll like maybe 2 years back, mm-hmm. There's just my headlights pointing into the wilderness, and you see all the grass and all that. And then on the right side of the photo, there's a silhouette, and you can see two legs and a torso, mm-hmm. and it's just a silhouette of a person. And I think it was literally, the other day, someone else pointed out there's actually a face in the photo as well. Fuck that, close dude. Up. And Kayla lives right out off of the area that we see it.
Kayla's going to be like, I'm moving.
She's seen it way too many times.
Yeah.
Driving from home and to home. And I mean, we made it almost the game when we'd go out that way. I'm like, let's see if we see it cross the road up ahead. And there it goes, scurrying right across the road. And then you'll see a shadow blocking out a light. And, you know, it's bad.
She says it's dark out there right now. Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not a fan of getting spooked like that. Like, I don't mind camping, but when I go camping and I know I'm the only one out there and I'm hearing shit and I see a silhouette off of like the back of my tent, I'm handing the machete to whoever's with me and I have my pistol.
Yeah, no.
Dare you to start some shit. And that's how I'll say it. I dare you to start some shit. Might even rack it if I want.
Right.
Just to dislodge one out of the chamber.
Now, if this is the time that Lawrence is talking about, I know this one. It was honestly one of the scariest nights that I think I'd ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. Guy shows up to the woods with a stolen vehicle, which we didn't mm-hmm. know about till after. He then goes back to another fire pit, pops some rounds off. So now we're all confused and like, what are these shots going off? And then he comes back out front to us where, you know, we tell him like, hey, man, you don't got to be a stranger. You can come over and sit around the fire, not knowing that he's the guy popping rounds off. And he decides to drive back again, pop some more rounds off. And at this point, I hear all these trucks. I hear people freaking out.
Yeah.
Another truck pulls up in front of us. We don't know what's going on. We address that and It was really sketchy. And me at the time, I had just left my grandmother's house helping her with some rat problems. So I had like a little CO2 air gun that, you know, it was 22 cal air gun, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I start hearing people really start freaking out and all these vehicles coming down the trail. And as soon as I come to the trailhead, I'm greeted with three muzzle flashes and literally hearing it crashing through the palmettos around me. So me just instinctively having a CO2 pistol blew his tires out as I dove into a ditch.
Oh, well,
I don't ever want to be in a situation like that again.
Have nice days.
He turned into, you know, let's go see if we can find an officer, do all that. And of course we find the one dummy car parked in the median with no one in it. And by that time, the guy's gone, crashed the car because he shot the engine block in his whatever stupor he was in. And that was a crazy night.
That's Florida.
It's Florida. And I mean, you live here long enough, you really get to see it.
Lawrence is talking about the JRTC camping trip where you made the hog noises. And then Kayla says, I regret the fact that he knows how to make hog noises. Scared the crud out of her.
So I've known Kayla in high school as well. Lawrence is from high school. Clinton was the weird old man, you know, the automotive shop. I love you, Clinton. You're awesome. Don't worry. I know you know where I live. So
Clinton's like...
I can see it. I can see that.
He's looking into the camera or his screen right now going,
I don't know, Lawrence. I don't know if I want to do it for the podcast. It might be a little loud.
Do it for the podcast.
But Lawrence was on the football team. So he knew how to bear crawl really well. And this is our sophomore year in high school. And we're on a camping trip. Every other ROTC school backed out of this trip. So we're the only ones there. Now, being a Boy Scout in ROTC, I knew the camp. And when I got off the bus, the camp master actually recognized me and all this. And then I got voluntold to be the head honcho for the weekend. And we decide that we're going to sneak off because we have to use buddy system. So Lawrence and I sneak off and we go lay in the bushes. And we lay outside the girl's side of the bathroom and I'll make the hog noises and he'd run out on all fours.
Oh, hell no.
So we do that for probably 30 minutes and we're just laying there having a good time, laughing, all that. And out comes our master sergeant's daughter. And I put my hands over my mouth to make the noise. And I hear, don't do that. And I'm like, I look at Lawrence. He looks at me. And our master sergeant is a big, ripped, you know, big black guy, just straight like out of like G.I. Joe. And he was legs open across both of us looking down. Now,
y'all didn't hear him walk up or anything.
He's just like, what's up, boys? And we're just like, we're dead. Because I mean, it was literally like all stuff aside, it was just eyes and a smile. That's all we saw. And we were terrified.
What's up, and fellas?
It was terrifying. And then they're like, you know, you can't go do that. I know you know the camp. I know you thought it was funny.
Wow.
Don't do that. And we're like, okay, I get you. Just don't terrify me that bad.
Right.
It was an eye for an eye. We were scaring people. And he just decided to come parachuting in and land right on top of us without making a single noise.
And then he's like, don't do that.
And I'm just like, oh, I'm dead. Like, he had a better chance of just ripping one of us into the bushes. Like, it was just terrifying.
That would have been fun to watch.
Oh, it was hilarious. And I'll do the noise because Lawrence keeps going, come on.
Yeah, he keeps saying that he wants you to do the noise.
So it's really nasally. So so I don't know how well that came across, Mike.
It did.
And I apologize anybody who's wearing earbuds if it was too loud. But
no, that sounded really fucking good.
So doing that.
And he would go running around on all fours.
Oh, he would just go. And yeah, Master Sergeant was an Army Ranger. He had some classified stuff underneath his belt.
Oh. No.
So he used his Ranger skills to spider walk up trees and just kind of descend on us.
You know, I heard as an Army Ranger, and it's like a thing that if you go out, you have to get a snake and kill it and eat it. That's a thing. I don't know.
I don't know. I saw it on
that show, like Naked and Afraid or something one day. This guy was an Army Ranger guy, and he had this girl there, and dude was killing it. He had like a hotel. You know what I mean? Like he had a straight up hotel. Like they were drinking out of like bamboo cups and everything. And he was like, as an Army Ranger, we have to go out and we have to, since we're out, I have to go get a snake.
Oh yeah. It's like drinking the blood from your first deer.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, or taking a bite of the heart, which I would never do. And mm-mm. Not
it just, that make, sounds well, gross. I'd
probably convince someone to do it and be like, how'd it taste? And they'd be like, don't you know?
No. So, do you know those pig roasts where you can like, it's almost like a, I don't know. But anyway, you cook the pig underground.
Yeah.
This is like up on top and the coals are on the top and you just kind of keep doing it.
Yeah.
So we would camp and we had this pig that we were roasting up and everything. And it was the whole pig, head, everything.
Yeah.
I got so out there. I decided, hey, you guys cut the eyeball out. I'll eat it. So they did. And watching them poke the eye, I was like, nope.
Now, nope. I won't say that I have eaten it, but I'll admit to witnessing someone eat one, and I'm not going to say where the other one went. Mm-hmm. But the hardest part about eating a roasted pig eyeball is the cornea.
No, I won't. They poked it, and it just kind of like, and then it, yeah. I don't know. I was like, nope. I threw everything I had up. So Matt says, yeah, it's to A, build confidence, and B, show that the snake blood can hydrate you. Oh, so the Marines do it too. See? See?
Well, those are the same people who eat crayons.
Well, yeah. I can't say anything because I was never in the service. So I'm just kind of like,
I have a lot.
I mean, there's a lot of people that like, they, especially like if you start clowning with them and you were never in the service and you start clowning with them, they get, some of them get like pretty pissed off.
Oh yeah. I've come across quite a few on those.
Yeah. There's a guy at my job that he got a little irritated because he was wearing a hat. He said something smart to me. I don't know. I don't take too lightly to that. So I said something's kind of smart back. And I made a comment about his hat. And I said, that's cute that you're rocking a baby Navy shirt or a baby Navy hat. And he goes, this is the U.S. Navy. And he got pretty irritated. And he's like, you know, there's a saying that, and then he starts going through this whole spiel about how a civilian could get his ass whooped because he's making fun, you know, whatever. Then a gentleman behind me was like, I'm ex-military too. And I thought, bring it, both of you. Let's go. But I was like, this is crazy. You guys are taking this way out of context. You know, you keep doing you, I'll keep doing me, and have a nice freaking day. Because I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah, I've had a lot of my buddies be military, National Guard, stuff like that. And I got to joke around with the most of them. And, you know, I know what jokes can push it too far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it's a good buddy of mine, I'll make fun of them just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because then I have another buddy who's in another branch that'll take it from there. And then it gets off of me.
Right. Yeah. You
I line up the next
pop one. It. Yeah. You pop it. And then you're out. You're like, baby Navy. And then just bounce. You're like. So my buddy Steven, he's actually he's an ex-Marine, and he actually found some crayons that were like candy or whatever. Yes. And it said Crayola and everything all over it. And he's like, yeah, man. He goes, so they really do have these. I was like, hell yeah. Yeah, they do.
We had a service. Well, Matt still, I think, works at that store. Mm-hmm. Matt and I worked together down in Fort Myers, and our service manager there was a Marine, and we joke with him one day. He's got this little camping chair that he had, and we go to move it one day and there's crayons in there. And I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, he left his snacks. Should we put it in the fridge?
Do we need to put this in Ziploc?
Like, should we put this away for him? And, it was just funny. And I brought it up from there to him and we all laughed about it and all that. But there are some people, you know, you make a crayon joke to the wrong Marine and, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's all downhill from there.
Yeah, and what's funny is that a lot of the guys at the job, they don't know that I'm in law enforcement. So it's like, I don't know. I don't classify myself as service, you know, because I'm not. I was never in the service, but I have a bunch of people that I know were in the service. One of my good friends, Daryl, he was like Master Sergeant in the Navy. And I said, what's the first thing you're going to do when you retire? He goes, I'm going to grow me a beard.
Right.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Because I'd probably do it too. But, you know, I don't know.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
as this thing is growing out now.
Yeah.
I need to get this thing trimmed up this weekend or something.
I thought about shaving mine off, and I'm like, listen, it hides my double chin, so it's going to stay.
Leave it.
Yeah.
As Smitty said on one of the other shows, beard the fuck up.
The only thing that I hate about any of my facial hair is my mustache, because I got this little virgin strip right here.
Yeah.
And then it's just finally getting to touch down for like the goatee, and it's not touching here.
I hate my mustache, so I don't even mess with it with a mustache anymore. I mean, it's trimmed, it's short, but I don't. And this right here on mine, when it literally is, it's blonde and chrome, but it looks like that it's just kind of faded, like it's gone, like there's nothing there.
Yeah,
but it's there, and it's and yeah, I didn't say gray, I said chrome. So chrome. Men don't get gray hair. We get chrome, just so everybody knows.
And I was like naturally like a blonde kid, so you'll get some spots on my beard that have blonde hairs in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny.
Oh, man. We're going to have to wrap this one up. We might have to do a little part two one day.
I'm down.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
I got plenty of time to fish and plenty of time to do this. So
I need to come out to Florida and go fishing.
Well, I promise there won't be any bad luck if you do.
I got you.
I'll bring someone else along. Maybe Clinton wants to tag along. Or
I got an idea. Let's just go fish the red tide.
I mean, it's a guaranteed catch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure a mask is still around, so we can still put a mask on. We don't have to smell it.
Not too much in Florida, but yeah, you know, there's still some available. The stock, the shelves are fully stocked.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
No.
Mm-mm. They're not going anywhere. Let's find a wonderful motivation. Let's see. Let's find a motivation. Because that tends to be the thing nowadays at the end of the show. I find a motivational quote. No, that one sucks. Yeah, that one sucks too. Nope. Nope, I got to add now. Let's see. There you go. This one's for you. This one is definitely for you.
Oh, boy.
Take every chance. Drop every fear. I mean, you took a chance. You're taking a chance in getting out of the automotive field and into fishing.
Yeah.
So there you go. Take every chance. Drop every fear. So, ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate y'all. We'll end up getting you back on the show for sure.
Oh, 100%. Sure. I'm sure I'll have plenty of Florida stories for you.
So let's see. Hold on a second. So you guys, if you're not following him, go hit him up on Instagram, Big Man Bassin. He's got a lot of cool pictures on there. A lot of cool stuff. You want to see the one that's a couple years ago? Yeah. Go see that Shadow Walker.
I'll post it to my story tonight.
There you go.
Back up there.
I'm done with ghost stories for right now because was it last Saturday?
No. Yeah, last Saturday. I think it was last Saturday. We saw some funny looking stick figures and
that was
a blast.
That was
there's still this little box that I think we should open though.
Nope, not on this show. Start your own shit. And his wonderful hat. Go check them out on Instagram, Big Boys Bait and Tackle. Do they ship like countrywide or just kind of ship it?
Shipping wise, we're trying to get restocked on a lot of our apparel and stuff like that. But if you reach out via the Instagram, I think we can get some stuff out. I can talk to the boss, especially if we get some people wanting some merchandise. We have like long sleeves. We have a whole bunch of stuff. I've got more fishing shirts than I have regular shirts. I mean, I literally have a laundry basket full of these things because we've had so many. And on top of that, we're getting our freshwater apparel out. So
nice. Kind of
like my little kick that I wanted to do with the boss man finally was like, hey, I like that idea. And I'm like, I'm glad you do.
You should totally make a shirt company called like Hook 'em Wear.
It's very hard fishing apparel names. Lawrence, myself, and a few buddies had an idea, and we just haven't acted on it yet. But we've considered it. Fishing apparel is a huge thing. Yeah. Especially here in the state, for something that you can only catch here in the United States, other than Hawaii and some of the other territories. But
absolutely. Absolutely. Man, I appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, man. I really do.
That's no problem. Really, I'd rather be here or in the comment section. So
yeah. You're always in the comment section. I love it. I love it. Love the support. I really do. I know everybody with the Gorilla Lounge does. But you guys hit the like button. Please share whatever you gotta do. But also to do not forget, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Podbean, we're on pretty much anything that's audio is where we're at now. So not only do we do the live, this show right here is going to be uploaded to the audio version. So,
and don't be afraid to play it while you're in the car driving around, get your friends to listen to it. That's how I've got a few of my buddies in here, you know, when they're stuck with me on long car rides, I kick it on and I'm like, you guys are listening to this. And they're like,
there you go. I mean, and that's why we do the live on Thursday nights. We try to get the comments and everybody to kind of talk about things and, you know, just get to know the guests. So this was cool. We really touched on homeless. We touched on the red tide and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, trust me, I could have gone on and on about that. You know, mm-hmm. I was well prepared for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a thing. So, you guys, again, we appreciate it. Have a good night. And hang out for a little bit backstage. We'll kick back up.
Absolutely.
So, all right, you guys. I am out of here. Big Man Bassin is gone. Say bye, Big Man Bassin. Peace out.
See you guys.
Yeah. So, that is it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, and we are out of here. Look at my eyes. My eyes are pretty freaking red right now. So that's it. You can leave. It's time to go. Bye.